Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from sources such as the New York Times, the News and Observer, the Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Entertainment Weekly. This intro music, Rock Succession, from the 2009 album Yoga Meditation, reflects the theme of today's special program about robotic computerized music. Keaton Armstrong, now a teenager, returns to the studio after a three-year absence to help discuss the contemporary musical genre. Welcome back, Keaton.
Thank you. It is good to be back.
Music Review is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical, folk, jazz, blues, rock, country, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Our musical trivia questions come to us from the websites funtrivia.com and onthisday.com.
Question number one. The Blue Man Group, the three men with painted blue skin in this robot-like band, never sing. Is it A, true, or is it B, false?
And question number two, it was on this very day, back in which year, that Thomas Edison invented the phonograph and made his very first sound recording? Was that A, 1877, B, 1901, C, 1920, or D, 1938?
The answers to these two important musical trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program.
And our transitions come to us from that same website, onthisday.com, and today, quote-unquote, is the weekend of August the 10th. Well, it was on this very day back in 1865 that composer Alexander Glazunov was born. Glazunov was the major Russian symphonic composer of the generation that followed Tchaikovsky. He studied with Rimsky-Korsakov, and his first symphony is perhaps his most notable work.
And it was 65 years ago today, in 1952, that Hank Williams was fired from the Grand Ole Opry and told not to return until he was sober. Known for such hits as Hey Good Lookin' and Your Cheatin' Heart, Williams died of a heart attack at the age of 29 in 1953 in the backseat of his Cadillac.
Well, once again, welcome back to the program, Keaton. It's been 3 years. Has your taste in music or experience with music changed since your last visit to our studio?
Well, back then I played the violin. Now I just play the radio. No change in taste, though.
Well, now that you're a teenager, do you think your generation will adopt its own style of music as practically every other generation in the past has done?
Yes, because most of my classmates seem to like hip-hop.
Well, let me get your reaction to this article published in the 10/25/11 issue of Psychology Today by Sina Moore, titled Teens and Music: Noise or Necessary? Music's Central Role in Identity Formation. Music plays a large role during this time period as teenagers generation after generation identify with artists and musical styles that reflect their identity as individuals and as a generation. And parents across the decades lament the types of music their children listen to. In the last 100 years, it was jazz, then big band, rock and roll, funk, electronic music, rap, and hip-hop. Generation after generation, parents have complained about the quote-unquote noise their children listen to, refusing to understand or listening to quote-unquote that music. So what do you think about that? Will your generation have its own type of music preference?
Yeah, as the famous jazz master Charlie Parker said, music is your own experience, your own thoughts, your own wisdom. So yes, I do believe a new type of music is already emerging. It's not just a new type of music, though. It's more of a blending of existing types with the help of computers and, of course, robots.
Oh, yeah, okay. Well, what has been your recent experience with robots?
So I've been in this robotics group through mm-hmm. NC State.
Yeah.
And we've been making these competition robots mm-hmm. to more or less battle. It's not like a fighting robot.
Yeah.
But we try to score as much points as we can to beat the other team.
And you do that through programming, right?
Yes. We make lots of programs and uh-huh. run into a lot of mechanical and software issues.
All right. And you're going to be going into engineering, I understand. Is that right, when you get into college and so on?
Yes, yeah.
Okay. Well, so it seems like robotics has the potential, then, to affect certain types of music more than other types. Well, jazz, for example, seems by definition to seek experimentation. But what about classical music and country music? Is there room for robots there also?
Well, sure. It's already happening there also.
Huh.
Here's an example of a country-style song from 2010 that uses a software synthesizer computer program to generate electronic music.
Oh yeah, that's the group Broken Bells' performance of the song The High Road. This production also underscores your point about how contemporary music blends types or genres of music. Yeah, that article that was published in tasteofcountry.com back in 2012 was for the country group Eli Young Band, and their video is about a robot for their song called Say Goodnight.
Actually, even though that production had all the things you would expect out of a country music video, mm-hmm. the lyrics for country music and most other types of music can be written by robots.
Ah, yes. Well, here's an article titled Robots Are Coming for Your Country Music. This one's written by Mariana Nash in 2016 for thefoxgrove.com. Let me read a few lines from that piece. Who has the hottest name in country music lyrics right now? It's okay, no one actually knows, but this Twitter bot writes lyrics inspired by real country music, and it only mentions beer once. At horse underscore bluegrass is the brainchild of programmer Jared Winard, who found he could generate original lyrics by running existing country music songs through a text prediction algorithm. The algorithm did its magic, and now we get to hear, as an audience, gems like these lyrics. Each day I am the man who saw you that fateful night. And also, we rambled around the state of Tennessee where the wild wind wanders free. Okay, I'm convinced robotics can be applied to country music, but what about classical music?
Well, I'm glad you asked. Have you seen the article titled Music Students Program A Robot Orchestra, published in NPR.org?
Oh, yeah, actually, I've got it right here, Keaton. Let's introduce that 2010 article with Iseo Tomita's synthesized version of the classical piece, Horus Toccato. Learning how to program computers isn't typically a requirement for music students, but a professor at the California Institute for the Arts says it should be. Thanks to A.J. Kapoor of CalArts, music students are learning how to program and build robots. Kapoor offers a class in which students become part of the Carmetic Machine Orchestra, an ongoing project of his. But when this orchestra warms up, it isn't the typical scene. Instead of telling the musicians to tune to A, Kapoor tells them to tune into the client. A series of boings, pings, and reverberating notes follows, and then the orchestra begins. Watching the Carmetic Machine Orchestra is like getting a peek at the inner workings of a factory through a sheet of glass. It churns, gears turn, wired mallets beat drumheads. Some of the musicians sit at laptops looking like workers as they rhythmically press buttons.
The robots aren't built to resemble humans. They're made of screws, wires, and found objects. For example, there's a string bot made of aluminum boxes, skateboard wheels, and guitar picks. Student Jim Murphy's robot has a motor that spins quickly and plucks a string with the guitar picks. He can adjust the speed of the motor with his laptop and change the pitch, or even make it sound like a slide guitar. Programming machines to make music isn't new. It's been around as long as player pianos have existed, but these robots are different. They've been programmed to improvise. That means that Murphy and the other musicians are never certain how a robot will respond. You feel like you're playing with another human, Murphy says. Instead of simply manipulating a tool, it feels like you're sitting there playing with something that has its own quirks. It is almost its own personality. Each robot has a different feel to it.
When Murphy talks about playing his robot, he almost sounds like a conductor. He says it's amazing to control a machine that sounds like an entire orchestra of percussive sounds. There are conventional instruments in the orchestra, a sitar, a bass, a piano, but even they are interconnected to the matrix of robots.
The programs that make it spontaneous to these robots were all written by the students. At a time when so much music is created with computers, Kapoor says musicians should all know how to program. He says it gives them more control.
Only knowing how to use, like a software package that comes out of form a certain company, completely limits you, he says. And this is the only way that you can really think about this media and this art. Learning to program and build all these things yourself, you can make up whatever you want. But humans, not robots, should be making music, says Geron Lanier, the musician, composer, and computer scientist who popularized the term virtual reality. Lanier says that while it's interesting to have robots play music, it's a silly idea in the long run. I think it's kind of making a mistake in the sense that making robots play music is kind of missing the point, Lanier says. It's sort of like having a robot have sex for you so you don't have to. Musician John Woods Wall says robots aren't replacing humans, but that he thinks of them as instruments that can make sounds humans can't. Tyler Yarman has been working on a robot to play in an Indonesian musical ensemble that includes gongs, flutes, and metal drums. Normally, one person would play two or three pots at a time with two sticks, he says. But instead of having a robot with two arms, I'm going to have a robot with seven arms.
Robots that pluck strings and bang drums are also a lot more interesting to watch than most electronic music. Kapoor says he's never really compelled by the usual electronic show, in which someone stands behind a laptop hooked up to some speakers. An audience at a machine orchestra performance, however, gets a close-up of the moving parts live on giant screens. The experience is more like watching a science fiction movie. Ultimately, Kapoor says he's not trying to teach his students to be programmers. He's trying to help them become artists. We're not MIT, and we're not like a technical university, he says. We are a music school. Our job is to make good music that people want to listen to.
And it's not just classical orchestra music. It's also opera. Came across an article recently that was titled Robot Conductor and Blind Tenor Lead Orchestra Performance in Italy. This was published back in September of 2017 in the New York Post. And evidently we have tenor Andrea Bocelli. In fact, at Pisa, where they had recently the Robotics Festival. And so that was an international festival where you had robots performing as conductors, and Bocelli, who is blind, actually singing the tenor part. And then there's jazz, a genre that you would suspect lends itself to the latest technology. This is a re-recording of Art Tatum performing the song T for Two back in 1949. This particular album was put together by Zenith Studios back in 2007. And Zenith Studios takes audio recordings and turns them back into live performances, precisely replicating what was originally recorded. The Zenith software-based process extracts every musical nuance of a recorded performance and stores the data in a high-resolution digital file. These performance files contain every detail of how every note in the composition was played, including pedal actions, volume, and articulations, all with microsecond timings. The re-performance files are played back on a real acoustic piano, fitted with sophisticated computers and hardware, letting the listener sit in the room as if he or she were there when the original recording was made. The re-performance is then recorded afresh, using the latest microphones and recording techniques to modernize monophonic or poor quality recordings of great performances. Art Tatum, once again. And this is a track that's simply called Sleep Sound. It's recorded by Jamie XX, and it's an introduction to our music research and technology, which is an article titled Sleep of Ages, the Past, Present, and Future of Music for Sleep. This is written by Alex D. on the 19th of July, 2017, and published in syncproject.co. That an ever-growing portion of the world's population is struggling with sleep is well documented. In the last few years, the number of prescriptions of sleeping pills dispensed has reached more than 40 million. However, there are still people that would rather have a better night's sleep, avoiding the side effects and risk of dependency that some of these medications present. Cue the music.
Since 2015, playlists on Spotify, crafted specifically for sleep, have become very popular. As of September 2015, 11.6% of the albums added to the Spotify catalog were related to the relaxation and sleeping category. The amounted to 2.8 million playlists on Spotify with music related to sleep.
Musicians have also seen the need to mix music and sleep into their creative process. For example, in 2016, Radiohead explored the area of creating playlists for sleep. Tom York, Radiohead's frontman, released through BBC Radio a 45-minute long mix of songs that aimed to ease sleep. It also included live performance of his song, Bloom. Crafting music for sleep does not end in just making playlists, although sometimes artists feel like Ed Sheeran unconsciously create music for sleep. Many musicians have crafted tunes specifically for, quote-unquote, the midnight hour, or the expressed goal of sleep, an approach that has been used from traditional Indian music to Chopin's nocturnes. Contemporary classical and electronic artists, and even celebrities, have added to the canon of calm by composing music for sleep, but this time round, often taking cues from science and research. And starting with Robert Rich's sleep concerts designed to be fertile beds of restive imagination to contemporary classical composer Max Richter's Sleep, an 8-hour live chamber performance for repose. Modern approaches to music for sleep often have a view towards understanding the physical and psychological effects of listening to music while asleep.
One of the most renowned and reviewed songs of recent times, specially crafted for sleep, is Marconi Union's Weightless. Released in 2011, this song has been described as being one of the most relaxing songs out there.
Although this track and music in general is recommended to sleep or relax, some people may need a more personalized approach in order to actually fall asleep with music. Integrating the spirit and intent of Weightless with cutting-edge technology in Unwind.ai, Marconi Union created a new piece called Adrift. This song is played through a unique system developed at Sync Project that harnesses the benefit of biometric data and artificial intelligence, AI, to provide a personalized performance that takes into consideration the actual heart rate of the listener before playing the takes into consideration the actual heart rate. And the piece is designed to never play the same way twice. So whether it's been a hectic day or you've managed to get to bed at a reasonable time, the performance can be tuned to your needs. Approaches to music for sleep like Unwind.ai tie the age-old intuition of music's calming effects with a system for evaluation and personalization, which we hope signed a new chapter in the history of music for sleep. And in terms of popular music, there was a video recently released on YouTube called Automatica, the explosive intersection of robots and music. What'd you think of that?
Well, when I watched the video, I was very surprised.
Uh-huh.
Because with my experience with robots and music,
yeah. Uh-huh.
I know that making a robot to do that would be very complicated. You'd run into many mechanical and software issues.
Yes.
Like the programming, just to make the robot play the guitar.
Yeah.
Would take so much time.
Good point. Yeah, there's a magic that happens when scientific principles and high technology are applied to the creation of music. So this music and robots, then, really the question is, what does it mean to be human in the digital age? Also, watching a robot make a piano explode is pretty cool, according to Nigel Stanford, who is the guy who did this video. And he says, for me, this was a labor of love, exploring how technology is changing everything in our lives, affecting how humans interact with each other, and what creativity means as more and more processes become automated.
So, how'd you do on today's musical trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question, the Blue Man Group, the three men with painted blue skin, and this robot-like band, never sing. Was it A, true, or was it B, false? And the correct answer is answer A, true. It is true that the three men in blue do not sing, but they do have other famous singers, including Dave Matthews, sing the songs on albums for them. Their first two albums were titled Audio and The Complex. Blue Man Group is best known for its award-winning theatrical productions, which critics have described as groundbreaking, hilarious, visually stunning, and musically powerful. These performances feature three bald and blue characters who take the audience through a multi-sensory experience that combines theater, percussive music, art, science, and comedy.
That goes into a form of entertainment that is like nothing else, I understand.
Yeah. People from all over the world, from all walks of life, and from all age groups have become fans of Blue Man Group's show in New York, Boston, Chicago, Las Vegas, Orlando, Berlin, and Tokyo.
Uh-huh.
Blue Man Group is also known for its unique style of music, which is played on a variety of invented instruments. Blue Man Group's 1999 album, Audio, was nominated for a Grammy in the Best Pop Instrumental Album category. One reviewer called it a glorious wall of sound. Blue Man Group released their highly anticipated second album, The Complex, which served as a bit of a departure for the performers. The Complex Rock Tour has been hailed as awesome musicianship enhanced by good humor and fun. By the Chicago Sun-Times, in addition to live shows and music, Blue Man Group has created installations, happenings, unusual ads, a number of television-specific performances for The Tonight Show, several of which were nominated for Emmy Awards and have most recently ventured into toy development.
Mm-hmm. And the answer to our second question, it was on this very day, back in which year, that Thomas Edison invented the phonograph and made his first sound recording. Was that A, 1877, B, 1901, C, 1920, or D, 1938? Correct answer? Answer A, 1877. As noted in spectrum.ieee.org for sheer originality, bordering on the magical, nothing compares to Edison's U.S. patent number 200.521, issued on 19 February 1878 for the first ever way to hear recorded sound. The phonograph was born out of the telegraph and telephone. Edison spent years trying to improve the former. Most of his early patents were related to printing telegraphs, and he was intrigued by the latter ever since its introduction in 1876. Edison got his first telephone-related patents in 1878. He noticed that playing a recorded telegraph tape at a high speed produced noises resembling spoken words. What would happen if he recorded a telephone message by attaching a needle to the receiver's diaphragm, produced a pricked tape, and then replayed that tape? He designed a small device with a groove cylinder overlaid with tinfoil that could easily receive and record the motions of the diaphragm. "I then shouted, 'Mary had a little lamb,'" Edison recalled. "I adjusted the reproducer and the machine reproduced it perfectly. I was never so taken aback in my life. Everybody was astonished. I was always afraid of things that worked the first time." Soon he took the phonograph on a tour, even into the White House. So let's close out today's special program on robotics music with one of the first recordings of music ever made by Edison Sound Recordings.
Forever blowing bubbles, pretty bubbles in the air.
Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. And as we leave you, remember these words.
Kindness is language which blind people hear.
Mm-hmm. See.
See. And deaf people hear.
Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Music Review is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast in the TRRS website, TriangleReadingService.org. Now, if you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me, Randy Thompson, at 919-832-5138. Keaton and I bid you
so long until next time.
The sky, then like my dreams, they fade.